Check, check, check. Good morning. Welcome to Zion. We're talking this morning about avoiding unnecessary arguments and toxic people. When Jana asked me to be the worship leader about a week ago, I read that and laughed really hard because when you live in a condo, avoiding toxic people is pretty much a second occupation. That particular week, I had dodged arguments about, the poor quality communication from the management team about the car break-ins, which turned out to be people who were leaving their cars unlocked with the windows rolled down. Somebody happened to walk by and take stuff out of those cars, and so they were very upset. And then there were the dying rhododendrons, two rhododendrons that are dying near the mailbox areas. It was very critical to one woman. Wanted my input on what to do. And then I just told her I don't care about the dying rhododendrons. Sorry. And then there was somebody else who was extremely upset because of the large volume of people who are selling right now. Of course, that's happening everywhere across the country, but I don't think I made that clear enough to her, so she's still worried about it. Anyway, yeah, we do it a lot in the condo association, but it's good for the rest of us to think about too. We have announcements this morning. Anybody want to come forward with some announcements? Well, I'm not seeing any announcements. Okay. Let's move on to responsive reading in your bulletins, I think. Yeah? Okay. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing affright you. God is unchanging. Whoever has God needs nothing else. Yeah. Okay, let's see. We have a prayer. Here we go. Dear Lord, you know it is hard for us to pause from the busyness of our lives, from our worries and concerns. We are here before you today. We ask that you imprint your spirit on our hearts. Show us your truth. Shine your light on us here in this place as we praise your name together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what's next? Singing. Oh, okay. Video, VBS video.
Didn't that look like a fun time? It sure was. Do it again next week. No, we had a really good time. It started only 2 weeks ago, and it seems like it's been a while now. All right, first song this morning. I'd like you to open up in your hymnal to Here in This Place, number 10 in the purple book, The Voices Together. Number 10, Here in This Place. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now as the shadows vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings brought to you here in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in where it's aflame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in, the rich and the haughty. Gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine of compassion. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here we become the people you fashion, children of God to be salt for the earth. To eat the bread that is you, nourish us well and guide us to growing lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in just buildings dim and confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place the new light is shining. Now is the dawning, now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together. Fire of love in our flesh and our bones.
All right, now turn in the same book to number 91. And if you're able, I'd like you to stand and sing out loud. Number 91, we praise thee, O God.
We praise thee, O God. For the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life. Who has showed us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the joy thou hast given. Who the saints in communion, these 4 days of heaven. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Filling heart with thy love. Making soul may rekindle with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again.
You may be seated. And we have one more song that we'll sing at this time. We'll sing it through twice.
You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be.
Although we have still not gotten to the point where we're passing the offering baskets, we still have offering in the back, and we will still pray over it this morning. Dear Lord, you lack nothing, and there is nothing we can add to improve upon your glory. Let us see our gifts and our time, which we offer to you, not as a gift you require, but as a token of our love. Please return to us in abundance of your spirit and your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now it's time for the children's story. Have the children come forward? Bonnie?
Good morning. It's so good to see you. I love being able to see each of you. This morning, I'm going to read a story called One. And it was a story that Serenity read here at church a long time ago. But some of you might remember it. And some of you that were in my class, like Jack, might remember reading it in class too. But it is a story about the color blue and what happens with that color and what happens when one person makes a difference. And Seth is gonna show it up on the screen up front, or up there, so that the adults can see it too. So if you want to look at the pictures in the book here, you can, or if you wanna look up on the screen, you can look up on the screen too. One. Blue was a quiet color. He enjoyed looking up at the sky, floating on the waves, and on days he felt daring, splashing in rain puddles. Every once in a while, he wished he could be more sunny like yellow, or bright like green, more regal like purple, or outgoing like orange. But overall, he liked being blue, except when he was with Red. Red was a hothead. He liked to pick on Blue. Red is a great color, he'd say. Red is hot. Blue is not. Then Blue would feel bad about being blue. Sometimes Yellow comforted Blue. Blue is a very nice color, she'd say. But Yellow never said that in front of Red. She never said, stop picking on Blue. Green, purple, and orange thought Blue were nice too. Never told Red to stop either. Every time Red said something mean and no one spoke up, he got bigger and bigger and bigger. Soon, Red grew so big that everyone was afraid of him. No one dared stop him. Red picked on all the colors. Then everyone felt a little blue. They're all smashed, aren't they? Until one came. He had a different shape with bold strokes and squared corners. He was funny. He made the colors laugh. Red saw this and got very hot. Stop laughing, he told yellow. Stop laughing, he told green. Stop laughing, he told purple and orange. And they did. Red rolled up to one. Stop laughing, he told him. But one stood up straight like an arrow and said, no. Red was mad, but one wouldn't budge. So Red rolled away. One turned to the colors and said, if someone is mean and picks on me, I, for one, stand up and say no. Then Yellow felt brave and said, me too. Green agreed and said, me three. Then Purple became four and Orange became five. Blue saw the colors change. He wanted to count. Red grew red hot. He felt left out. He grew hotter and hotter and hotter. Red raced over to Blue and said what he always did. Red is hot, Blue is not. But this time, Blue stood up tall and became six. Red can be really hot, he said, but Blue can be super cool. Red blew a fuse and tried to roll over Blue. But everyone took a stand and said, no! Seeing them standing tall made Red feel very, very, very small. Then Red turned even redder and began rolling away. Blue called out, can Red be hot and Blue be cool? Red stopped in his tracks. Red can count too, said one. Red rocked and rolled and turned into seven. Everyone counts, they shouted. Then Red laughed and joined the fun. Sometimes it takes just one. So the colors were having trouble with Red, weren't they? Red was not kind. Red, and sometimes when there's somebody like Red, you need to walk away. But one showed them that they could be kind to Red and say, hey, why don't you join us? And he did. But that doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. This book, and there's also a zero and another one called two, are going to be in the church library pretty soon. You have your house too? Yeah. So these books will be in the church library pretty soon. So if you want to read them again, you can read them again, because books are always worth reading more than one time, aren't they? Okay, let's close our eyes and pray for a minute. Dear Jesus, thank you for being who you are and for showing us your love. Help us to show love to others, even when those people may not be kind to us. Help us to be kind to them, and help us to know too when we need to walk away if somebody doesn't stop being mean to us. Thank you for your love, and thank you for these boys and girls that are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, see you later.
Reading this morning from the NIV version. I'm kind of echoey, aren't I? Okay. Titus 3:9-15. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful, and they are self-condemned. As soon as I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you know what we need to hear today and feel because you know our hearts. Prepare our hearts and our minds for the message you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see so many up here for the children's story, especially Ken, proving once again, reminding us that age is a state of mind. So thanks, Ken. A couple of updates. We signed papers on a house this week. So everything is expected to, well, not expected. It has gone through. We're taking possession probably in about a week and a couple of days here in Hubbard. And then we've got a little bit of prep work, some painting, stuff like that we know we want to do before anything big gets in there. That means probably August 20th, 21st, around there, we'll be moving in and having boxes and all of those kinds of things. So we're looking forward to that. Peace be with you. This morning, we're finishing up our journey through the book of Titus. We spent about 7 weeks now looking at this short letter, just really three chapters to Titus. It's to Titus and the Cretan followers of Jesus. Way back on week number one, I gave two reasons why I thought the book of Titus would be a good place for us to start. Reason one was because the book is short, and I knew we could make our way through it without getting bogged down. Reason number two was that this letter was written to someone starting out in a new ministry position. It seemed to fit yours and my situation fairly well. Now, I read through Titus, and I read through it before making the decision to preach about it, and in the past, I led a men's small group through it. It was a video series on Titus. So I wouldn't say I was unfamiliar with Titus, but having spent the last 7 or 8 weeks digging into Titus more, tracking the context week to week and section to section, I can say I'm finishing up this study with a much greater appreciation of this little three-chapter book close to the end of the New Testament. I've got a greater appreciation for the role it can play in the life of the church. Most of that appreciation has to do with both the freedom these new followers of Jesus understood and the way Paul invites them at times to set aside that freedom, to give a greater positive impact as a community on the culture at large in Crete. I've also been impacted by how Paul continually links faith and good works together. I've been surprised by the way certain passages have seemed to speak directly to situations and issues present within our culture today. The book of Titus has important messages for us and can help guide us through current events and situations if we as a church will let it. For this final Sunday in passage, I want to start with the last four verses first, really. Titus 3, 12 to 15. I want to start there because it's probably one of the easiest sections in the whole letter to deal with. Easy because there isn't a whole lot of theological content to unpack, and there isn't a whole lot of context issues to keep in mind. Really, these verses, this section, it's just Paul saying hello or his final greetings and informing those in Crete about who's going where and when and how to care for those in need. In this closing section, Paul gives one final reminder that the Cretan followers of Jesus should devote themselves to doing good. Paul clearly has a plan put in place to develop not only the church in Crete, but the church in many other areas. And that plan depends on developing young leaders. Paul understood that discipleship happens best in the context of mentoring relationships. That's something we often forget. There's this thing referred to as the tyranny of the urgent. Mostly means we, especially some of us in church leadership, often get so busy reacting to things that urgently need done that we end up neglecting the relationships, discipling and mentoring relationships. We forget how important it is to build relationships with others, especially those younger than ourselves. Paul, in his closing words, clearly reminds us how he mentored young leaders in the church and invites us to do the same. Now, with verses 12 to 15 or so out of the way, let's take a look at verses 9 to 11 in chapter 3. We've got a short video clip, and I think that'll help us jump into this just a bit.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, this is my first time.
I see. Do you want to have the full argument, or were you thinking of taking a course?
Well, what would be the cost?
Well, yes, it's £1 for a 5-minute argument, but only £8 for a course of 10.
Well, I think it's probably best if I start with the one and see how it goes from there, okay?
Fine. I'll see who's free at the moment. Mr. Dubake is free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Yes, sir. Try Mr. Barnard, room 12.
Thank you.
Hi.
Is this the right room for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't I? Didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
You did not.
Oh, sorry. Is this a 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
Oh, just the 5-minute one.
Fine. Thank you. Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Now, let's get one thing quite clear. I most definitely told you.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
Didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just contradiction.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is not.
It is. You just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did.
No.
You did just
no,
then.
No, nonsense.
Oh, look, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
I came here for a good argument.
No, you didn't. You came here for an argument.
Well, an argument's not the same as contradiction.
Can be?
No, it can't. An argument's a collected series of statements to establish a definite proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It isn't just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it isn't just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument's an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of anything the other person says.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
No, look,
Thank you.
What?
That's it. Good morning.
I was just getting interested.
Sorry, the 5 minutes is up.
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I'm afraid it was.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
But that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. This is ridiculous.
I'm very sorry, but I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you pay.
Oh, all right. There you are.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I told you I'm not allowed to argue unless you pay.
I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did. I did. Well, I don't want to argue about that.
Well, I'm very sorry, but you didn't pay.
Aha! Well, if I didn't pay, why are you arguing? Gotcha.
There you haven't.
Is that? If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, so hopefully your argument. Or you haven't necessarily gone out seeking him quite like that. But we can't be alive for very long before realizing there are some arguments that it's just not worth getting into. Unfortunately, I rarely know which arguments those are before getting into them. It's usually after the fact that I realize this was not an argument worth getting into. Years ago, I saw a quote on the wall of a restaurant. It was one of those kitschy kind of plaques hung on the wall as I was waiting, I noticed, and it read, "You don't have to attend every argument you're invited to." I've noticed that these days we seem to have absolutely no shortage of topics to argue about, no shortage of people extending an invitation for us to attend those arguments. Once again, Paul's letter to Titus and the Cretans, written about 2,000 years ago, has insights for us right here and now in the year 2021. Contemporary English version reads, "Avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, and fights about the law, because they're useless and worthless." Paul tells Titus to avoid three categories of arguments. The first, stupid controversies. They accomplish nothing besides more division and more controversy. This happens a lot on social media, and I have yet to hear someone genuinely say, "I used to think this one thing, but wow, that social media post that was reposted from that other one organization that I don't know anything about, well, that social media post told me about how wrong I was, and I decided to change my mind." Social media can be useful for certain things, but as a platform for open, diverse, and meaningful debate, it's not been so beneficial. I think this also includes the general stirring up of controversy for the sake of controversy. Some people tend to need a certain level of controversy happening around them. They work hard to draw us into that controversy. They thrive on that kind of environment. Paul reminds us that this is not helpful, not beneficial, and it should be avoided. The next is genealogies. For the Hebrew people, a certain genealogy was a qualification for priesthood in the temple. For the Cretans, genealogy was linked to cultural myths about the gods and goddesses and who would benefit or be cursed because of their genealogy. Getting caught up in genealogical concerns was a distraction from the faith and good works Paul knew was the evidence to the kingdom of God. The third one says to avoid is fights about the law. For the Hebrew people, including Paul, discussions about what it meant to follow the law, what was forbidden and what was allowed, they were commonplace. But these Gentile believers had experienced freedom from all of that. Titus had been freed from a faith based upon the law and justification through the law. So any argument or fight about the law was simply unnecessary and unproductive. In verses 10 and 11, Paul shifts from avoiding arguments to avoiding people, namely people who cause conflict. He says, "After a second and third warning, have nothing more to do with a person who causes conflict, because you know that someone like this is twisted and sinful, so they condemn themselves." Paul once again uses his famous strong language, but he's consistent with the pattern Jesus taught in Matthew 18. The passage in Matthew describes not only the method, but the attitude which we are to work through issues in the church body. I'll save a sermon on Matthew 18 for another day, but I certainly believe it's always good for us to be reminded of a couple of things. Most importantly, our first step in addressing conflict in the church is to approach a person directly. That means if there's an issue, we don't start addressing the situation by building consensus with others about what a person might have done wrong. Our first move is toward that person for the purpose of reconciliation. In Titus, Paul advises that we have nothing to do with a person unwilling to change and that we stop conflict they are causing. In Matthew 18, Jesus teaches we should treat that someone continually unwilling to acknowledge the issue as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Short note on that. We might think this is an opportunity to write someone off who disregards us, who doesn't respond to the approaches we take in the church. After all, at the time of the New Testament, when Jesus was teaching this, Gentiles and tax collectors, they were despised by the Hebrew people. But the despising attitude was not the response of Jesus. We've got to remember how Jesus treated the tax collectors and Gentiles. He's the one in Matthew teaching about this. We've got to remember how Jesus treated those despised in the culture of the day. Consider Matthew, again, the one who wrote down these accounts of Jesus and Jesus's teachings in the book of Matthew. Matthew was once a tax collector. Jesus found Matthew and invited Matthew to follow him. Jesus regularly ate with Gentiles, tax collectors, and sinners. Zacchaeus was the vertically challenged tax collector that Jesus invited down from the tree before having dinner with him and all his friends. So, let's be careful how we hear that part in Matthew 18, verse 17. If they don't pay attention even to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and a tax collector. While we wouldn't necessarily invite such a person into a teaching or leadership capacity in the church, I don't think scriptures tell us that we treat them poorly or that we write them off. In this last section of this letter to Titus, Paul is instructing Titus about the importance of having good boundaries. That instruction is certainly something we would do well to follow. In general, a boundary is a clear space between you and another person or you and a situation. A boundary helps us identify where we begin and the other person or situation starts. Boundaries help us establish our own identity and the identity of others and be able to differentiate between the two, and we're better understanding what we are and are not responsible for. There are many benefits to being part of a community of faith, like a church family, if you will. Church families help us understand who we are by providing space and time to discuss, to discover what we believe and how we might respond to certain situations in life. Church families provide support when we celebrate together and when we mourn together. As a church family, we walk through difficult times together, times like a global pandemic, which part of the reason why we have a renewed understanding of the importance of meeting together and the dynamic that plays within a church family. But just like biological families, church families can have issues, bad habits, we can get caught up in unnecessary arguments, unresolved hurts, relationship issues, and stress. Knowing the difference between me as an individual and us as a church family, it's vital. It's important for me to do my best to serve you, and it's important for you as we work to faithfully follow Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus regularly left his disciples and went away to a quiet place to pray. Jesus understood the importance of establishing clear boundaries. Paul's letter to Titus is encouraging Titus to do the same. Healthy boundaries, they aren't always easy, especially when navigating our faith and church family dynamics. But healthy boundaries are important for long-term health, vitality, and ministry. In fact, just this week, Jody connected with Bill Blank, and we have some dates on the calendar to begin a series of healthy congregation workshops. Out in the future a bit, and these workshops, they can better help us understand our habits as a church family. It can help us identify some growth areas and celebrate areas of health. This is going to be an important journey for us as a church. As a church family, I believe we will get out of it what we're willing to put into it. your church leadership, including staff and elders and ZLT, we want to do this well. We're taking tangible steps toward the healthy congregation's journey. Essential to that journey is creating the time and space for us to communicate well with each other. 70 to 90% of communication is nonverbal. That means communicating well and valuing the healthy congregation's journey in the midst of a pandemic isn't exactly straightforward. Face masks, social distancing, and Zoom meetings don't exactly create a type of environment where we can pay attention to nonverbal communication, to listen and hear well. In fact, these create significant challenges to our ability to listen and hear well. So we're trying to figure out the best way to proceed. So in the midst of this, please be praying for us. And we appreciate your patience as we do our best to discern the most beneficial way to proceed. If you sense any delay, it's not because of a lack of a desire, but because we believe this is an important step to take, an important journey to go through together, and we want to do it well. So, to summarize this section of Scripture, Paul is explaining the importance of establishing healthy boundaries, of knowing when to say no, so we can better say yes to our ongoing discipleship journey. For this final section, we wrap up our study on the book of Titus. Now, before I give you my attempt to summarize it, I'd love to hear from you sometime this week or in the weeks to come. What have you gotten out of this study of Titus? Maybe you've heard something a bit differently than me, or something has really stuck with you. Maybe nothing has stuck with you. I'd love to hear what that is or what that isn't. So, if you have a chance this week or in the future, you remember it, jot down a note, stick it under the office door, write me an email, something. It doesn't have to be long, just a sentence or two. You can send it to me again in an email. My email address is on the back of the bulletin. Or a letter to the church if you prefer. Mostly, I just like to learn from you by hearing what the book of Titus has said to you. With that, my attempt to summarize is this. Paul's letter to Titus provides some helpful instruction and insight into church identity. God invites us to be part of the set-apart people of God. Because of God's mercy and faith, because of God's mercy, our faith and good works work together, forming us into God's people. To live in such a way that others might come to know God's mercy at work in our world as well, restoring brokenness and reconciling people to each other and to God. God's accomplished all of these things through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that cross changes everything and the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. We work to faithfully live in the tension of God's kingdom, which is both here and now, and the hope of God's kingdom that is yet to come. With Jesus as our example, may the Spirit of God continue to work in and through us as a church family and as individuals, forming us into God's people for the sake of others. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this journey through Titus. Thanks that you call us to be together as a community and yet also understand that there are boundaries. Help us to recognize where those are, to withdraw to a quiet place to pray when boundaries need to be set up. Help us as a congregation as we consider how best to move forward with the healthy congregation's journey. As we consider how we can invest in that and how you are using that to form us and shape us. Help us to be attentive. Give us wisdom and discernment. Help us once again to live as your faithful people for the sake of others. Yeah. stand comes, let's stand together.
We're not using the hymnal. We'll be singing a song that's words will be projected. Sometimes I stumble, sometimes I fall, sometimes I turn away and risk it all. Lord, I cry out to you, touch me today, take my hand and guide the way. Lord, lead me on to the place of your mercy and grace, your kingdom of truth and light. Lord, lead me on in your steps. Now I'm seeking your face. Hold me to your side, beyond the lie, into your truth. Lord, lead me on. Choices that matter, there are ways to go. Help us to hear you, Lord, when we don't know. Come, Holy Spirit, with your strength for this life, power to live for Jesus Christ. Lord, lead me on to the place of your mercy and grace, your kingdom of truth and light. Lord, lead me on in your steps. Now I'm seeking your face. Hold me to your side, beyond the lie, into your truth. Lord, lead me on. You may be seated.
Turn to, please, 996 in the purple hymnal. I'm gonna do our prayer together this morning. As this reading, written prayer. I'll take care of the part that says leader, if you take care of the part that says all. Sound good? Yeah? Okay, all right. I saw a couple nods, so that'll count. How about you all do the people? Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Dan. I'll take care of the leader part. We'll all take care of the all part. And you take care of the people part. Sound better? Clear as mud? Okay. All right. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere. For our denomination and congregation, for strength to preserve in faithfulness. We pray for the whole people of God. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the well-being of our global community. We pray for the earth and all living creatures, for regions and species at risk, and for the sharing of resources. We pray for the wholeness of creation. We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice and oppression, and for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace. We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, for those who mourn. We pray for all in need of comfort and hope. You've heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest in the comfort of your care as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, before I start this benediction, I have to tell you something funny that happened. I was looking for benediction prayers, like a book of prayers, Mennonite prayers, because there's books of Lutheran prayers, Methodist prayers, Catholic prayers, Mennonite prayers, right? Maybe. So I searched in Kindle, and I got a lot of returns for Mennonite prayers, and all of them were Amish romances. Okay. So maybe there are any books of Mennonite prayer specifically, which is okay. I found a common prayer book. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Go in peace.